Arizona voters approved legalizing marijuana for recreational use in last November's election. The new law applies to people 21 and older and comes on top of the state's voter-approved medical marijuana program. But with pot newly legalized, there may be some awkward conversations or situations related to it. That's where Lizzie Post comes in. She's the great-great-granddaughter of etiquette expert Emily Post and co-president of the Emily Post Institute. She's also the author of the book Higher Etiquette, A Guide to the World of Cannabis from Dispensaries to Dinner Parties. She joins me to walk through some of the social do's and don'ts. And Lizzie, what are some of the etiquette issues that might come up in a place like Arizona, which has recently legalized recreational marijuana?
So you're coming from a time when things have been prohibited. People have had to be discreet, both for safety reasons, privacy reasons, and you're moving into a time where any house that you visit, it might be something that someone could offer to you. And for me and the Emily Post Institute, whether you are engaging with it or not a fan of it, it is now going to impact your life in that way. And you want to have really good, whether it's sample script prepared or understanding of your own boundaries and comfort levels in order to best navigate that well with other people. And that's really what etiquette's about, right? I have a very 420 friendly house. I don't want my mother, who really doesn't like the smell of pot, to be uncomfortable when she comes over to my house for dinner. I make sure that that's less of an issue when she's around, or I don't invite her over during harvest season, you know, when it's really, the aroma is really strong because everything's really fresh. So it's funny how you kind of go from this place of you can't talk about it at all to everybody's probably going to be confronted with it in some way or another. And that's a change.
Well, so what are some of the ways that people can work on that communication and make it so that it's maybe not so awkward in a place like Arizona, where it is new that, you know, marijuana is legal for pretty much anybody to use?
So I think it's one of the reasons I love coming at the subject through the lens of etiquette. Because rather than coming at it from a, you do it, you don't do it, come at it from a, I am going to be interacting with people and I want to be a respectful person. I want to be kind and considerate and honest, both with myself and those around me. I want to be that kind of member of society. That's a platform that I feel like anyone can stand on and feel good about. And then when you look at approaching a conversation where, let's say, I don't consume and you do, rather than just saying that I think what you do is bad, which is a judgment, I think that one way to go is to either lean into curiosity and I can ask you about why you like to consume or how this benefits your life. I can also set up my own boundary respectfully and saying, you know, Mark, this is a subject I'm not really comfortable with yet. Is it okay if we don't talk about it? You know, or I've got to say, I'm on the opposite side of this one from you. I hope that won't impact our friendship, but it's something I don't really want to have be a part of our friendship either. And I think that those are ways that you can start setting boundaries, but respectfully, without casting a ton of judgment, but also while being in your own zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I would imagine that in a lot of cases, talking about, I don't want to call it controversial, but a topic where people have very strongly held beliefs in many cases and where those beliefs might be different than somebody else's, that's not necessarily the kind of thing you maybe want to bring up at a dinner party, for example, or even in regular conversation. But you're saying in this case, it maybe is something that you have to talk about.
It might be. I mean, so you could see that conversation happening a number of different points in time in someone's life, you know. But I think about you know, you bring up the dinner party, and I think about the idea that I would really want to let someone know who was coming to my house for the first time that I'm a 420 friendly house. I would want to let someone know who's used to my house being a pot friendly zone if it's not a pot friendly night. Maybe this is going to be a night where my nieces and nephews and my cousins and their kids are going to be over too. And we're just going to say, you know what? no pot for the evening, the smoke gets everywhere, it's not the scene we want to set for the evening. I would want to let my guests who are used to bringing a joint or bowl or bringing their homegrown to smoke after dinner, you know, like I would want to let them know tonight's not a pot night. And that can go either way. It's also, you know, you can say, hey, my house is cannabis friendly. And if you're not okay with that, then it's best to RSVP no. I wouldn't recommend doing it that way. I think it's less inviting. But, you know, you want to communicate about this.
Right. Well, so you brought up the idea of, you know, maybe you're having your nieces and nephews, or maybe they're going to be kids at a particular event. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that on both sides of it, if you're going somewhere or if someone is coming to your house and there are kids involved, that must change the dynamic somewhat, right?
I've found that it does. And I found that it does in two ways. And I noticed in Vermont, the first year that we legalized for recreational usage, people didn't even want to talk about cannabis in front of kids. But, you know, second year, third year in, you've got people very proudly growing weed openly in their gardens. Their kids know that it's weed. It's a subject people are much more comfortable talking about, but the smoking is still a thing that nobody thinks it's a good idea to smoke around kids. Nobody thinks it's a good idea to smoke around people who don't want to be around smoke. And so when you're talking about being considerate, around kids, it's like smoke is kind of a no-go, I feel like, for so many people, even people who are really strong advocates.
So just out of curiosity, do you have a sense of what Emily Post would think about this?
We put this in the book because this was definitely a question we were going to get asked. Emily Post was really against prohibition in her time. She did grow up in a time where cannabis would have been used, especially as a medicine, and then it became prohibited. But I have never found one opinion, one scrap of anything, no pot leaf in an old book, like no nothing that indicates that she was a fan of it. I know she is not a fan of smoking, but she really did not leave me any clues. I think that she would see that it was legalized and therefore then it's something we need to talk about because it's going to be impacting a lot of people.
All right. That is Lizzie Post, co-president of the Emily Post Institute, author of Higher Etiquette. Lizzie, really nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Great talking with you too. Thanks so much, Mark.
Well, Mark, you had a winner there. That's the first interview we've ever had on the show where someone said a 420-friendly household, not just once, but twice.
Yeah, and I think she meant it.
I don't doubt it for a second. No, I don't. I think she was honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I want to go back to your interview with Josh Rawich, and I appreciate you acknowledging that you are jealous of his new job because, you know, I think you and I could be decent co-presidents of the Hall of Fame, right?
You know, I think fans of Mark Brody's early career will want to find a wonderful piece you did at the Cooperstown Hall of Fame many, many years ago, folks. It's probably on YouTube somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, gosh, I really kind of hope not at this point. It was near the museum, not actually at the Hall of Fame, but it was hot dog related. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, that's good.